Namaste, welcome to Bhakti Yoga Conference 2026, Sacred Community Walking the Path of Love Together. I'm Happy Jack, the founder of Happy Jack Yoga and our host for today. And this is our second annual gathering, bringing together over 40 beautiful souls, from monks to scholars to musicians to spiritual leaders from around the world. We opened the conference a few weeks ago at Harvard Divinity School, and our closing gathering will be at Oxford Center for Hindu Studies. And together we get to explore how devotion and spiritual community can really support us on this path of bhakti yoga. As of now, we have well over 6,000 beautiful souls who have registered for the conference, anywhere from Harvard students to practitioners of bhakti yoga, to yoga teachers and spiritual seekers. It's meant to be a space for spiritual friendship, for shared inquiry, and for heartfelt conversation. And for those who are here live with us, please, if you're up for it, leave a message in the chat. Let us know where you're calling in from and wherever you are. Thank you for being a part of this global Sangha. It's now our honor to welcome to the virtual stage our dear speaker today. Who look like you're petting the parrot. It's beautiful. I'll say a little bio and then we'll bring our speaker on. Please welcome to the stage His Holiness Satchinandana Swami, a monk in the Bhakti tradition who is known for his significant contribution to the practice of meditation and kirtan. Dedicated to the process of inner transformation, he has spent 50 years in pursuit of genuine spiritual experiences. With messages full of bhakti, humor, and energy, he reaches thousands, while at the same time teaches to each and every individual. In his own words, "I like to inspire others to come in touch with the divine so they can live and act from the place of unlimited, blissful being." Satchinandana Swami co-founded the Brudge Care charity in India and has been integral in building two spiritual communities in Germany. He teaches at the Vrindavan Institute for Higher Education in India and the Bhaktivedanta College in Belgium, and has published several books, dozens of articles, and poems. Together, we are so honored to welcome Satchinandana Swami here for a talk on the relationship mangoes, the spiritual building blocks of communities. Friends, if you are ready to welcome Satchinandana Swami to the virtual stage, please throw your arms in the air and loudly chant Haribo! Welcome to Bhakti Yoga Conference, Maharaj.
Thank you so much. Our Happy Jack, you bring so much energy, so much an accommodation, so much of a welcoming space that we feel extremely happy and honored to take part and welcome all of you who I see as little photos that show you in your most photogenic situation. And I want to especially greet someone who's very dear to my heart. Bob Cohen is his name, under which he has published a really moving book. So, yes, myself is the relationship mangoes. When we speak of relationships, my dear everyone.
And Maharaj, just before we jump into it, could we ask the question, just getting a sense of what brought you to bhakti? I know you're so enthusiastic to jump in, and we can't wait for that. But really, you know, if we take us back to the beginning, what was it that first awakened your heart to the path of bhakti? And what is it that's had you stay for over 50 years? If you could just kind of share that. And I'm going to step out of the way and get into the mangoes.
No, that's very good to find out how the speaker, or how, in this case, I am thinking. Well, I think it's just the subject, sorry, which we are talking today about, relationships, but a divine relationship. Now, I remember when I was very young, there was a phase in my life when people who were dear to me were dying around me, good friends, relatives, music stars, which I was connected with. And I was thinking, all these relationships in this world can be cruelly interrupted by the thought of death. Is there an everlasting relationship? And I was at that time getting very much into ideas about the higher connection, the more than human dimension, and God. And I found out, sorry, I just come from the jungle and need a little, can I have please a glass of water? So, and I found out that through bhakti and the processes of bhakti, we can make this everlasting relationship to that one personality who goes by thousands of names, and we will be able to enter a relationship of increasing sweetness that is never terminated. So yes, this divine relationship, or the possibility to build a relationship to Sachid Ananda Vigraha, the personality who's full of bliss, full of and knowledge, and who is also a divine person who delights in a loving relationship. So that made me interested in the path of bhakti. And therefore, coming from a place where I could see broken relationships, either broken by the sword of time, or just because people's natures just came through. You know, it says in the ancient Indian in poetry of Bhartrihari, in the beginning, we thought you and me, we are simply a we, but now I see that you are you and I am I. You, in other words, the natures which are making differences between us can break relationships because when they are not on a deeper level than just quick fascination during the first meeting. So natures always come through in the end. They emerge from the ocean of our personalities, and natures are always different. We are always individuals, and if we have not yet gotten to the point where we see the spiritual reality that connects us all, we will suffer from relationships. Good. So relationships, the divine relationship, the eternal relationship, which I saw as a possibility and prospect manifesting between my eyes when I started to practice bhakti, that brought and kept me on the path. Yes, now I will invite you all to come with me to the edge of the ocean of spirituality. We will not walk with our garments pulled up, to not get wet. No, we will dive right in and go hopefully deeper and deeper. I invite you for my lecture on relationship mongoose. We will soon find out what this means, but I want to say, if there is one thing in the world that can be the greatest source of happiness, it is also the same thing which can be the greatest source of distress, frustration, and misery. It is love which we seek in every relationship. There are various forms in which love manifests. If we can find in a relationship genuine, lasting love, it's the most pleasurable thing which we can have. It's the most nourishing experience. But when that love is broken, when we are rejected, it's the most distressing and frustrating thing. Therefore, here I would like to discuss a little bit how to build strong relationship. So I will talk about the relationship makers, and I will also, if time allows, speak about the most painful relationship breakers and how to avoid them. Good. In our spiritual scriptures of the Bhakti traditions, we find six building blocks of good relationships. They are giving and accepting gifts. Giving gifts and accepting gifts, that's the first thing. Revealing one's mind in confidence and listening to the answers which the person gives us. And giving and partaking sacred food. These are relationship builders. Now, I'm aware that this is a very ancient language, and I want to unpack and translate this in our modern terminology. My dear everyone, if you wish to make a relationship, first, make an effort to understand the other person. Listen to their desires, their interests, their concerns. Show empathy and hear what they are talking. Hear also what is not spoken. Because imposing, advising without being asked is not good. In the ancient language, this is reveal the mind and invite the other into the safe space where they can talk, and then listen, 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 and try to understand. No? The second thing is giving and accepting gifts. Now, this is really vast. A good gift could be attending to the little things, like the small kindnesses, showing up for birthday and saying happy birthday to you, things like this. To not forget to show that the other matters. That will be very good. And this thing is, give the gift of a promise. Make a promise in the relationship. Keep commitments in the relationships. You can show that by arriving on time. That's what I'm terrible with. I'm late. Once I was told, called a Nazizist by someone I was. He was not a devotee. He was not a bhakta. He was just a professor. I was sharing the insights of Bhakti. And when I didn't show up on time, he called me a narcissist. I never forget this. Afterwards, I thought, he is right. I'm caring about my time, but not about the time of the other. So this gift must be given, that you keep your commitment, your promises, and so on. Returning phone calls promptly, and all these little things. So understanding the individual and giving gifts in the relationship, that is perhaps the biggest relationship builders. I would like to illustrate this with a story. There was an ashram that was built by Govinda Swami in the dense jungle. Because it was a jungle inhabited by wild animals and by dacoits, there needed to be a chokidar, a door guard on the entry door, who would know when to close the door. There was a tiger, or when there was the mafia coming and demanding their rent of the forest space. In India, you always meet these people. When you have any place, there will be people who will say, give us money, then we will protect you. You are in our space here. Anyways, so the chokidar one day opened the door. Chokidar means doorman or door guard. And there was a simple farmer. And the farmer said, "Oh, brother doorman, you have always opened the door for me to enter the ashram and see the temple in the ashram. I never showed you how much you are dear to my heart. But today I'm showing you here. Please take this super ripe mango." Doorman took the mango, but he was not so much a mango lover. He was, however, very pleased with the gesture. He thought, this mango should go to Govinda Swami, who came into the wilderness and made this beautiful ashram. First he just sat under a tree, and then some people came who wanted to help, and then now the ashram is there, and I can stay here. So he said, "Govinda Swami, I never really expressed this to you, but I really appreciate what you do. Please take this mango as my genuine attempt to show my gratitude." Govinda Swami thought, well, nice, very nice, but you know, I eat once a day and I have eaten already, but there is someone who would be really happy. It's that person who is already ill since 1 month, and he is just lying on the sick bed. And I think he is dejected because he's not participating in the ashram life. And so Govinda Swami went to that monk and he said, "My dear brother monk, you are so wonderful. We are so happy to have you. And to show my sign of appreciation, I brought you this mango." Now the monk had thought, when Govinda Swami came, maybe he will tell me, you know, we are nursing you since 1 month, you're not getting better, and we are so poor in this ashram. Perhaps you should look for another place to become healthy. This is what the monks thought. But when he got the mango, his whole mind shifted from fear of not being recognized. Oh my God. Someone loves me, someone is kind to me. And he became inspired. He thought, well, there's one person who really deserves this mango. I already have I had my porridge. It's the cook who cooks always this thin porridge, which is just right for my illness. So he told someone, please ask the cook to come. And when the cook entered the sick room, this monk said, brother cook, you are saving my life with your porridge. Today is finally the day where I can return this kindness. Please take this mango. My dear everyone, this is a story which takes usually 1 week to tell, day and night, because there were many people in this ashram. But I stop here. Cook Prabhu gave it to, in the end, not Cook Prabhu, in the end, the relationship mango came back to the door guard, the doorman who had initially received it from the farmer. And he recognized the mango immediately. And what he also recognized was the change in the ashram, because the mango had traveled to all inmates of the ashrams, all those who lived there, and and this was accompanied by sincere words of appreciation and understanding the other person. Therefore, the ashram turned into a wonderful place, a wonderful community, a wonderful place, really, to live. The doorman had seen the change. He didn't know what was happening. But when the mango, which he had received, came back to him, he understood, this is the relationship mango. It has worked the miracles. Now, in the relationship mangoes, the 2 points which I initially highlighted from the scripture, they play the deciding role. It was each one who came to the inmates, whether it was a doorman who went to Govinda Swami, or Govinda Swami who went to the sick monk, or the monk who gave words of appreciation to the cook, they understood the other person. Because sincere appreciation can only come if you understand the other person and what is his values and deal with him. If you would tell, for instance, someone, I appreciate, who is a spiritual person, who wants to live a humble life where he shares others, shares for the benefit of others, if he would tell him, you are able to move people and manipulate them really like the best of economic tech giant or politician, the spiritualist would go, oh no, this is not what I am about. You need to understand the other in order to talk to him and appreciate him. First understand, first listen, first walk with empathy in their shoes. Live a day in your mind like them. In other words, think what they go through in a day, whom they meet, what activities they might do, and then you are ready to give your gifts, your gift of attention, your gift of giving a promise and a commitment, and so on. No? And this is all told in the mango story about relationships. I want to. I'm looking here. on something which I feel is very, very important. Very often in this world, relationships first become a little distant, and then we find things in the other person which do not, which we cannot appreciate any longer. The small differences which we were willing to overlook in the beginning become all that matters for us, and we develop negative feelings. And we may not express these negative feelings, we may not do something negative, but the other person very, very well feels that. It's as if some ice has crept into the relationship. The atmosphere is a little icy. At that time, when our relationships suffer from slightly negative feelings and it goes more and more and more, there is something which, if you can give me now your total attention, which will save you and make the bring the relationship to the next level. It is called Pratipaksha Bhavanam, or opposite thinking, or cultivating counter thoughts. Patanjali, the great yoga master, says, upon being harassed by negative thoughts, one should cultivate counter thoughts. This is because we can not hold two thoughts at once. Today I was at the dentist. The dentist said, I'm going to do a very, very painful procedure now. I'm just telling you. And I said, I have something with me. I brought some tissues with me. Oops, is it tissue? You know, tissue paper. So I'm just here. Yeah, I think you got the idea. Can I do my Swami thing when you do the painful invasion? And he said, go ahead. So when they needed to puncture something with a sharp instrument in the mouth, when it came, I just took it. I brought all my mind into grabbing that paper. I concentrated absolutely on this. I'm now grabbing the paper and then let go. The mind was only having one thought, grabbing and let go. And I did notice a little bit. I don't want to be honest with you, but I would say 70% of the pain was not perceived by me, because my mind was not fixed on the pain and the painful place. My mind was fixed on something else, as foolish as this thing with tissue paper, anything, you know. This is called upon being harassed by this negative thoughts or pain related thoughts, one should cultivate counteracting thoughts. Let's be practical. There is a person, he really gets on your nerves. And you develop negative feelings towards this person. Why is he always so artificial? Why doesn't he ever talk his mind? What is wrong with him? He is born into the wrong culture, and so on. And you develop such feelings, no? At that time, think about something real, which is also there. Oh, this person is actually on the spiritual path. He actually tries his best. And if I'm honest, I have seen that he was able to give up some negative habits. And when you cultivate these thoughts, these opposite thoughts, this is more than, this is something else than positive thinking. It is opposing, the exact opposite of the thought. No, then you will see how the thought which harasses you goes. I remember there was a spiritual master, his name was Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and two members of his ashrams were always quarreling with each other. So one day this great saint called these two members and he said to one, let us call him person A, please say something positive about person B. Person A said, there's nothing positive about him. He is a freeloader in the ashram. I cannot see any good quality. No, no, something. Well, said person A, he is at least a vegetarian. Okay, person B. Look now at person A and tell him something positive. So person B says, there is nothing positive about this person. He's arrogant, he's foolish, and so on. No, 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 we know that, said Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, that this is your perception. But find something positive about him and express it. Okay, said person B. Well, he sleeps in an ashram. He's under the roof where good monks are also there. So then person A had to think and find something else about person B. Person B had to find something else about person A. At the end, there was no problem left that could not be worked out. There may have been some problems, but now the appreciation was there and things can be worked out. So cultivating counter-positive thoughts. If you want a relationship and you don't want to terminate the relationship, is a relationship savior. It's called Pratipaksha Bhava. Those who are into the Yoga Sutras, they can find Patanjali talking about this in the and the commentaries talking about it in the second part of the Yoga Sutra, text 33. Mm. You know, you should see Vyasadeva, a great saint and compiler of the Vedas, was saying how on the spiritual path it is not good if you carry negative thoughts about anyone with you. These negative thoughts will seep into your system and poison everything. You must get these negative thoughts out. Vyasadeva said, when I noticed that I was actually burning in material life, I initially took shelter in yoga and committed myself to the welfare of people. But then something happened. After some time, I noticed that although I had renounced bad thoughts about people, I again have resorted to them. Am I not like a cow who eats that which is chewed once again? We are not cows. For cows it's good for us to again go back to things that we have given up with the understanding that they are not good. Would be a regression and would stultify us and, you know, stop us. So opposite thinking, or cultivating counter thoughts. I am at the present moment on an important spiritual mission in my life. See, because I'm an active lecturer, I'm usually active in the evening. It goes late into the night. There are so many people who want to speak to me. And then I need to drive still to my accommodation, and therefore I'm lost a little bit the early morning hours, which are so good for spiritual practice. So I have now made this resolution. Okay, I become again the morning monk. And immediately I see negative thoughts in my mind. How will this work? You know, very ancient and old, you are only a few steps away from your grave. Can you really turn around at this moment? You know, the mind starts to speak. This is not practical, and giving thousands of reasons. And what do I do? I cultivate counteracting thoughts. No, this gives energy. I will just do a little yoga so that I awaken the body. And then these early hours are so useful, and I gain so much energy and thoughtfulness for the rest of my day. I can make decisions which come from a good place. So, every one of you, I sincerely request you to think about making a new riverbed in your mind. Now the mind always goes according to the old riverbed. That means your old impressions, your old samskaras. We don't think about relationship mangoes. We don't think what we can give into a relationship and so on. And therefore we have terrible or temporary relationships only. Now you need to see how you can flip it around and do this counteracting thoughts, which will make a new riverbed so that the flow of your habitual thoughts are no longer going in the wrong direction. You have created for the old river a new riverbed, and the old river will take this new riverbed and develop a stream of new thoughts. Because for some of you this is theoretical, and I see some of you in the your photos, yes, you are just hanging in there. So I need to now do something. My dear everyone, the best meal is not helping you if you don't eat it and then digest it. The best presentation is of no use for you if you don't act upon it and practice it. So I would like to guide you in something like a little guided meditation. Jack, is that is that a good idea?
That is a fantastic idea. Please, Maharaj.
Yes. So everyone on this call, including the cats and the dogs who are also listening in the background, I request you now to find an important button in your life, the stop button. A stop button should not only restrict you on your chair. You should stop what you are usually thinking about. You should get out of your mood. You should get out of your mind traffic, which is perhaps a little more softer than usually because you're listening, but which is there. I request you, we want to make now an exercise where we want to touch the relationship mango. Okay? Good. Let me first drink a swift gulp of water. I request you to choose one of two numbers. You can choose the number one, or you can choose the number 100. Okay, take a moment time. Which number do you choose? One or 100? Those who have taken the number one in their choice, for you is the affirmation, I will try new things that bring me into a new space. I can do that. I can try a new thing that brings me into a new experience. Those of you who have chosen the number 100, for them the affirmation is, in my life, I have the opportunity to touch the most ideal version of myself. Those of you who may be in the majority, who have not chosen one and not chosen 100, should cry in regret and should say, why am I always so passive? Why don't I get into an opportunity that is offered here? I'm joking. This is the way you joke in North Germany, the place where Vikings used to live. It is jokes with great affection. So, okay, I request you now to sit straightforward, to sit straight. I see an explosion of hearts here. Maybe for now, because we are meditating, we save our heart explosions for later, if it is at all something we wish to do. We are now entering into a meditative space. Sit straight, very important. And do a few a little breathing. I will guide you. We first breathe in on the count of one. I will do the counting for you. And then we breathe out on the count of six. Do a nice exhale. And now breathe in. One, two, three. Now breathe out. One, two, three, four, five, six. Do this now by yourself. Count up to three when you breathe in and up to six. When you breathe out, you need to ration now your breath. I will leave you doing it. Nice inhales and long exhales. As you are in and exhaling, connect your mind with your breath. Be with your breath. Be absolutely present to your breath. As you inhale, be with your inhaling breath, the air that comes in. As you exhale, be with your exhalation. We do two more breath cycles like this. And then we return to normal breathing, but a little bit deeper as our breath has deepened. We have now absolute time. Me time is only for you. There's nothing to do. What's up can wait. Your endless to-do list can wait. Just be here in this beautiful space with other beautiful people. And just breathe in and out. Now in your mind's eye, see the relationships that mean something to you. A friend, maybe a daughter or a son, a person you carry positive emotions for. Give yourself time. Wow, one of you is doing this so good that even through the computer I see they visualize a face with a bird, big eyes, brown color. Like this, you have to go through the people you appreciate. Find someone, or if you want, also a few. Excellent. Now turn your mind's eye to a person where the relationship is a little bit difficult at the moment. It could be an old friend, a son, a daughter, a close or distant relative. Don't give up. Just try to go. It could be also the person on the in the Walmart, the supermarket, who is, you know, dealing with a purchase and who's a difficult person, seems to not like you. It could be the president of your country, if there is a president whose decision you not always agree with. Anyone. For this exercise, it doesn't matter how close or far they are, as long as you can think of a person to whom you have a difficult relationship. Now, invite that person before you. It's good if you have your eyes closed for this. You are sitting on a chair and he sits just opposite. Maybe there's 7 centimeters or 1 meter distance. He's close by. And try to see something that is good in that person. It could be something as general that they are also part and parcels of God. And from this place of seeing something that is good within the person, say something to this person. You can say, I appreciate this and that. And if you want, in a very, very nicely phrased, carefully packaged way, is you can say, if I can say just one little thing, which if you want, you can do in relationship to me. Something good. As you see your heart coming full with good feelings, do a few deep breaths. Stay with this feeling, only with this feeling. Let the imagery of the person on the chair before you, let it disappear. Just stay with a good, positive mood. And from there, turn around and give them a mango. A nice, juicy mango. For you. We do a few deep breaths now. The idea is to come out of this space. You can now rub your hands like this. To generate some heat or the warmth, put them over your eyes, your face. And then take the hand back from you and look into the hand and come back to your room or visible computer experience. Hari, Hari Bo! Nice to see you! Was that helpful for you?
Very helpful. Oh my goodness. It was such a powerful experience. It brought tears to my eyes. I was with my father and wow. That was such a powerful, and there's actually so many things that I can feel grateful for, and it was just such a beautiful moment. Thank you for sharing that.
thank you. That is, with all these things, my dear everyone, it's what you put into it, what you receive back. Maybe for some of you this was unusual. So you can take the elements and do this when you have a little bit peace in your mind, perhaps on a nature walk, when you sit on a bench and do this. So relationship mango. I think the story speaks for itself. We should understand the other person, and we should, from that place of understanding, we should listen to the, or we should listen to them. We should hear, especially the things which are not spoken. That's an art. You need to try it, and after some time, you will be able to say, what do you think speaks so loud to me that what you say, I just can't hear it any longer. So then you should give gifts, and I would say keep your commitments with the people and your promises, and attend to little things, you know, they work so much, you know. I still have people who say, Maharaj, when I met you, you gave me that tea bag. That tea bag made my life. And I don't remember that incident. It's a long way. This was what someone said to me. I gave him a tea bag 20 years ago, and it's still working with him. The tea bag is gone, the gift is gone, but the attention I put to him, the understanding that he is in a phase where he needs a slap on the back, so to say, a little encouragement, that has been there. And because this is a spiritual program, I always encourage everyone, see the people like they really are. They are not these temporary roles they may play at the moment. These roles will disappear. They are not these masks which they put on in the great carnival of life. They are parts of God, divine, children of eternity. And if you approach them like this, you can easily overcome, let us say, the feelings of being disturbed by them, by going to these opposite thoughts. Good. I want to see now, Jack, you are our trusted host. We have now on my wristwatch only 1 minute left. What should we do?
It's okay. It was so. Sometimes we take Q&A reflections, but I think it was so worth it to have that experience. And I mean, I'll just share personally. You were the opening speaker for our Bhakti Yoga conference last year, Maharaj. And you, at that time, you also gave us a meditative experience. And I had a very similar experience then as today. And that was just this relishing and appreciating this moment of quiet. And what I mentioned then, and it came to me now as well, is a lot in bhakti, there's singing and dancing and kirtan, and which is beautiful. But I just, having moments like this, I'm just reminded how important it is to pause and to be quiet and to go within. And anybody who has not been on the Living Name retreat with Maharaj, you gave us that experience at your retreat as well. And I'm in a different space, you know, from that 10 minutes. And yeah, like I mentioned, thinking about my father and so many beautiful moments. So thank you. Thank you for the experience. You know, want to respect time. Would you just leave us maybe with some parting words? Mm-hmm. Knowing many will be watching this recording, many from the yoga community are just finding bhakti yoga. What words of encouragement or tips would you leave us with as we walk this path of love together, cultivating the relationship mangoes?
Wonderful. Yes. I will leave you with a thought. There was once a student. He came to his guru. He was restless and a little impatient. And he asked his spiritual master, please tell me what I can do to make God appear in my heart. As of yet, this has not happened. And the guru said, nothing. You cannot make God appear in your heart, just like you cannot make the sun rise in the morning. You have no influence on the sun, and certainly not on the creator of the sun. Oh, said the student, but then I have one question. You're always telling us to practice, practice, practice in our spiritual life. But if this is not bringing about the desired result, why do we practice? The guru smiled. It was a big smile. And he said, listen carefully. I'm telling you to practice so that you're not asleep when the sun rises. And this is, something we can translate. My dear everyone, spiritual practice brings you on a different level of consciousness and awareness. It lifts you. It makes the soul rise. Committed spiritual practice has this amazing effect. It is not that the practice itself can move the universe divine appearance. However, the practice makes you sensitive and perceptive for the divine presence who is everywhere. He doesn't need to rise like the sun. He has risen already. He has risen. He was there before this world was there. He is now there, maintaining the world with his innumerable energy. And even if the time comes when this world will will re-enter the state of unmanifestation, he will still be there. He is the ever-shining sun. But with practice, you make sure that you're not sleeping, but you can see. You're awake. So therefore, I would love to tell every single one who's now on the call and who will see that later, please find a practice that is suitable for you, that makes your soul rise. With this, I conclude. Jack, I would love to just have a word, 5 minutes with you. I have a wonderful idea I want to share with you. How should we do this?
Yeah, like with everybody or?
No, just with after. Yeah. I think you can now terminate it.
I'll call Banu Nandini. Yeah.
Good.
Well, we'll just wrap up with all of the beautiful souls. Thank you so much for being here. Thank you, Maharaj. The beautiful heartfelt experience, just incredible. All the beautiful souls who have joined us around the world. We have another call in an hour with Ganesham Prabhu, who works with end-of-life care, helping people transition into the next chapter. So please get some fresh air. In the meantime, cultivate some relationship mangoes, and we'll see you in an hour. But wishing you all an amazing rest of the day, and we will see you again very soon. Hare Krishna.